The last message we studied about the chronology of the what we call Easter week or the Passion week or whatever you may call it. We're going to go through all of the Gospels now, and we're going to read. Now, I'm going to be reading from King James, but I'm going to change it a little bit for better understanding and translation. But I have a chronological Bible that covers where John leaves off, Matthew kicks in, Mark and Luke and all that. This goes right exactly chronologically how it happens. And so I'm going to use that. Now, let's go back for just a moment and review just a little bit. Now, Jesus said that he would be in the ground how long? 3 days and three nights. Now, if we have Jesus crucified on Friday, that's not going to happen. That's impossible. There are three views that Jesus was crucified on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. The only reasonable, historically accurate one, and all history tells us that the eclipse took place on Wednesday at 12 to 3, not on Friday. Not on Friday. The Catholic Church had set up this Passion Week with all their little festivals and their Lent and all of this for hundreds of years now. And it affected the Protestant world also. You study, you go to many churches and they'll be talking about, you know, Palm Sunday and all of this. Anyway, Jesus was arrested late Tuesday night, which was actually Wednesday. He instituted the Lord's Supper. Now, you have to realize that Wednesday began at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. And so during that period of time, Jesus celebrated the Passover, the last Passover that would ever be what we might call legitimately celebrated, because Jesus was the Lamb, the Passover Lamb. He instituted the Lord's Supper with his church. The church was there. That took place. He went to Gethsemane, someplace really. Now, Wednesday actually began on Tuesday at 6 p.m. So sometime during the night out there, he went and prayed three times in the Gethsemane. He was arrested by Judas Iscariot. They tried him all night on that Wednesday night, which is actually, you know, our chronology. We go by the solar calendar from 12 a.m. to 12 p.m. The lunar calendar is 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. So he was arrested in the garden early Wednesday morning. By 9 o'clock Wednesday morning, he had been tried three times by the Jewish people, Annas, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin. He had gone before Pilate. He had gone to Herod, and then he had gone back to Pilate. Pilate saw him seven times, and he declared that he was innocent. But they demanded his death. Jesus was put on the cross on Wednesday at 9 a.m. He died Wednesday at 3 p.m. Between 3 p.m. on Wednesday and 6 p.m., the next day was a holy day. There's actually three holy days in this week. There's two Sabbaths. And then on Sunday is the Feast of First Fruits. The day that Jesus rose is the Feast of First Fruits. How fitting was that? The Feast of First Fruit is the resurrection of the plants that you plant. The trees come back alive, the fruits. The Feast of First Fruit, the resurrection. Anyway, he was in the grave from 6 p.m. on Wednesday. By 6 p.m. the next day, that's day one. That's Thursday. Thursday began at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. There's one day, there's 2 days, and then 3 days. We have 72 hours that Jesus was in the grave. Somewhere between 6 p.m. on Saturday, where Sunday begins, until before daylight on Sunday morning, our time, Jesus rose from the dead. So we got back and recapped that a little bit. Now let's go to the Bible and see how all of this took place. John the 17th chapter, these words Jesus spoke and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, thy hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may be glorified in you. And you have given him power over all flesh, and he should have give eternal life to those many as you have given him. This is eternal life, that they might know you, and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world became. I have manifested your name unto men, which you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are of you. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that you did send me, or you have sent me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them through your own name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name, and these that you have given me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that's Judas Iscariot, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil, actually from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, and sanctify them through your truth, and your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, and that's us. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one with us, and that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you had given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And in them, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, and for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I have declared unto them your name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Matthew, the 26th chapter now, verse number 30. And when they had sung a hymn, now this is after the Lord's Supper is instituted, after the Passover was over, Judas had already left. Now Judas is not there during the Lord's Supper either. He's gone. They thought he went out to buy something else because he was the treasurer of the church. The first treasurer of the church was a thief and a liar and a devil. Now they sang a song, and they went out into the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus came with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, "Sit down here while I go yonder and pray." And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful. The whole sins of the world were upon him, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little bit further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O Father, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus, in his human form, was weak. His humanity was showing forth. And he comes unto the disciples, and he finds them asleep, and said unto Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? Couldn't you stay with me? Couldn't you comfort me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter in not into temptation, that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And we know that many times, don't we? We have a spirit in us that God put us in when we're born again, but sometimes the flesh is weak. He went away again and the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may pass from me, except I drink it, your will be done." And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came back to his disciples and said unto them, "Sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." The sinners were, you know, there's a lot of people here. There's thousands of people that came here like they were going out after an insurrection or something. "Sleep now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. Behold, he is at the hand. He is at hand that betrays me." The one that's going to betray me is at hand now. Mark the 14th chapter, verse 26. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. They came into a place which is called Gethsemane. And he said unto his disciples, 'Sit here and wait while I shall pray.' And he took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful to death. Stay here and wait with me and watch with me.' And he went forward a little way and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Daddy, Daddy.'" That's what he said, "Daddy, Daddy. Daddy, Daddy. Abba, Abba," is what he said. Abba is a Hebrew word for daddy. It's like a little child when he called for his daddy. They said the first words he spoke would be Abba, 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 Abba. So he says, "Daddy, Daddy, all things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will be done." And he comes and he finds them sleeping and said unto Peter, "Simon, you're sleeping. Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour?" He said, "Watch and pray." Watch there means pay attention. Something bad's about to happen here. Pay attention. Be on guard. "Lest you fall into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." Then he again went and he prayed and spoke the same words. And he had returned. He found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither they willed what to even answer him. They didn't even know what to answer. And he comes a third time and said unto them, "Sleep on now, take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up and let us go. Behold, pay attention. He that betrays me is at hand." And in Luke, the 22nd chapter, and Luke uses these words now, and he came out, and he went as far as he would to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. Now remember, we looked at John, we looked at Luke, and we looked at the different ones. Luke looks at him as the Son of Man. Matthew looks at him as the King of Israel. Mark looks at him as a servant. And John looks at him as the God of glory, the eternal Jehovah. And when he was at the place, he said, "And pray that ye may enter into temptation." He was withdrawn from them as about a throne stroll. See, each one of these gospel writers gives a little more information. Are you understanding? Now he tells us how far they were, about as far as you can throw a stone. Maybe 50, 100 yards. And he kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared an angel. Another. We have another revelation here now. What's going on here? Matthew, or Luke tells us now, Luke is looking at Jesus as the Son of Man, as the promised Son of Woman from Genesis 3:15. Now the Son of Man is weak, isn't he? The Son of Man, he's in human flesh, and that flesh is about to be crucified, and he knows what crucifixion is. He felt the nails and the whips from eternity past, but now it's about to be real. And he came out, "Father, he said, he laid down, "Father, if it is your willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not thy will." And there appeared an angel unto him. Now, angels ministered unto Jesus. Ministered unto Jesus' human form. An angel from heaven, strengthening him. Being in agony, he prayed even more earnestly. How would you like to know? You know, we don't know when we're going to die, do we? Most of the time. But if you're on death row, you've got a pretty good idea when you're going to die. And when the moment comes, you're not ready for it ever. Jesus knew when he was going to die. And he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down from the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation also." Before, the other Gospels didn't tell us that, did they? Didn't tell us about the angel. So that's why I'm reading all this. Now we're going to go unto the Gospel of John, John the 18th chapter. And the Gospel of John, John looks at Jesus as Jehovah God of the Old Testament. Now let's look at what he sees, what he says here. "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came." Now the word Judas is also Judah, and it's also Jude. It's the same name. It means praise God, praise Jehovah. "And he with him a great multitude with swords and staves, and the chief priests, the elders of the people." Now it was against the law for them to carry these instruments, a weapon. "And he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, Whomever I shall keep on kissing, that same one is he, and hold him fast." Grab a hold of him. Now, when I kiss him, he grabbed a hold of him, just kissed him right on the mouth, and just held him there. Because he was going to get 30 pieces of silver. "And immediately came Jesus and said, Hail, Master. And he kissed him, kept on kissing. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore, why have you come? And they came and laid hands on Jesus, and they took him away. And behold, one of them which was with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear." Now we know who that was. That was Peter. And he cut off the high priest's servant's ear. He met his neck. He was going to cut his head off. He was going to kill him, but he cut his ear off instead. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up your sword into its place, for all they that take up the sword shall perish with the sword. Do you think that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall give me 12 legions of angels? Behold, how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be so? Remember what the gospel is, according to 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, that Jesus Christ came according to the scriptures, that he lived according to the scriptures, born in the right place, he died in the right place, he was raised in the right place. They had the right family. In that same hour, Jesus to the multitude, are you come out here against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not lay hands upon me there. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. The disciples fled. They forsook him. Like sheep, they scattered when the wolf came. John, or Mark, that is, Mark looks upon Jesus as what? The servant. And immediately while he spoke, comes Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, and from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall keep on kissing, that same one, take him and lead him away safely. Get him away from the disciples. And as soon as he had come, he goes straightway to him and said, Master, Master, and he kissed him. He says, Lord, Lord, and he kisses him. Keeps on kissing him. And they laid their hands on him and they took him away. And one of them that stood drew a sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now remember, Mark is the first gospel that's written. It's written before AD 70. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Have you come out here against the thief and with swords and stave to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not take me then, but that the scripture must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. He had no friends. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young man laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Some people said that was John. And while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto them, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Do ye betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And they which were with him saw that he followed, and they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Tells you what ear. Now, do you see more? Every little scripture, every gospel adds something that the other one didn't. And Jesus answered and said, allow this to go on so far, and he touched his ear and healed him. Here he is arrested now by these scoundrels, the high priest, and he touches this man's ear and heals him. Healing was a what? A sign of this is the Messiah. Did they stop right then and they say, oh, we're sorry? This is the mistake? No. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which had come to him, Have you come out as a thief and with swords and staves? And when I was daily with you in the temple, you didn't stretch out your hands against me. But this is your hour, and it is the power of evil, the power of darkness. This is your hour and the power of darkness. What a story, isn't it? This is a story of your salvation here and mine. This is a story of the progress and the perfection of salvation that stood from all the time of Genesis 3:15 and onward. Our Father, we send this message out. that you might use it for your honor and glory. Thank you for your Son that gave his life for us. Thank you for the salvation that he procured for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.